Je n'en pouvais plus, j'étais épuisé. Ils ont pensé que
So they took us to the beach in the night. They said if we're going to die, it'll be in the sea. They put us in a boat so that we would die in the sea. We were in the sea for 2 days before we were found. I cried. I didn't think I would live. I cried with all my soul and body. I didn't think that I would live to see another day.
This is Aisha, a mother of five from Côte d'Ivoire, speaking from a refugee reception center in Italy. She's lived to tell the story of how she, like thousands of women, fled her home to save her daughter from the brutal practice of female genital mutilation, FGM, only to be tormented by a stark new reality. After leaving Côte d'Ivoire, Aisha remembers enduring 3 months of abuse at a detention center in Libya, being raped, left for dead at sea, and having to choose which of her children she would save. Having survived FGM at 7 years old herself, leaving her country was something Aisha felt she had to do for her daughter.
They tie your hands and feet. Without anesthetic, they cut a part of your body. There are so many children who died. So many. The law forbids it. Islam forbids it. But they do it in secret. They say our custom demands it. I couldn't save my first daughter. I didn't know. They did it behind my back. She bled. She bled a lot. And more than that, she was ill for months. They asked me to excise my second daughter. I couldn't stand it anymore. A woman has to protect her children.
Over 200 million women and girls across the world have been subjected to the practice, while around 20,000 seek asylum in the European Union from FGM practicing countries each year. The UN Refugee Agency has described the conditions in Libyan detention centers as inhumane and cruel, calling for them to be closed. Deputy head of the UN mission in Libya, Maria do Valle Ribeiro, explains why passing through this North African country is a preferred route for refugees and migrants making their way to Europe.
If you look at the lack of border control, the lack of implantation of the state of Libya in large parts of the south of the country, the lack of services, the lack of other economic opportunities, and, you know, how do you create poles of economic interest which draw people away from having to encourage or favor an economy based on trafficking?
Ribeiro said one of Libya's challenges now is to improve government and services on behalf of its people, who have endured 6 years of internal conflict and economic collapse. For refugees and asylum seekers like Aisha, the horrific consequences of present conditions mean a narrow escape from one nightmare to another.
They kidnapped me. They beat me. They raped me. Every day. They put us in a big house where we never saw the light of day. The sun. There are so many women there, so much suffering, total suffering. They abuse women, children, men. They killed so many women in front of me because they refused to be prostituted. Many, many. If you refuse, they kill you and throw you in the sea. I lost my dignity in Libya. When I think about everything that happened, I can't sleep. When I tell my story, it hurts, but it liberates me. I want to mourn the past and to start a new life with my children close to me.
Aisha and her children are safe now in a refugee reception center in Italy. They are now receiving psychological support to cope with the trauma they endured. Natalie Hutchison, United Nations.